announcement by the Aboriginal Legal Service of WA. Very shortly, we're going to be talking about the process of the Children's Court. I imagine it's pretty daunting for a lot of people if you're heading off to court for the first time. Kenny Sutton is still at court, and sometimes commitments come first if they're in court. So in his place today, we'll be stepping in one of our lawyers, and her name is Monica Collard. You've met her before on Law Matters, but we're going to let Monica catch her breath a little bit. She's been running up the street from the court just to come here and talk to us today. And in the meantime, we're going to say hi to Shanna Satya. How you going, Shanna?
Hey, good, thanks.
Now, I'm amazed we're seeing you this week because it's your last week with the Aboriginal Legal Service.
It's my last week with Aboriginal Legal Service of WA.
Well, yes. Where are you going?
I'm going to the Central Australian Aboriginal Legal Aid Service, so CALIS, based in Alice Springs.
So you've probably got a million things on the go this week, tidying up everything.
Plenty to do, but there's always plenty to do, so it's not that different.
Tell us about your journey with the Aboriginal Legal Service here in Perth, Shanna. How's it been for you?
It's been really great. The ALS in Perth is incredible, and I think working with really amazing people and like really committed lawyers and field staff and everyone else, and really amazing, strong, passionate Aboriginal people as well, particularly at the fore of the organisation, and it really makes a massive difference working for an organisation that has such strong, amazing people involved.
And it's exciting as well because you're going to be, you mean you've been working in the area of policy, but you're going to be working as a manager in policy at, you know, Central Australia, which is exciting, hey?
It is. It's exciting because unlike the ALS and WA, which has been really involved in policy work for so long and since its inception, really, in Alice Springs, the ALS hasn't really done any policy work before. So they're just kind of moving into it. So it'll be a big time, a big move, and really important at this time, especially with all the stuff that's going on in the NT and in Alice Springs more specifically.
Yeah, and we know we'll keep seeing you because, I mean, the ATSLS mob, the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Legal Services from around the country regularly get together, the policy units regularly get together. So I guess it's a good experience, isn't it, to sort of go from one place to the next but be able to share that knowledge?
Yeah, it is. And I think the ATSLS, as you call it, the NATSLS, which is the National Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Legal Services, are getting really strong and cohesive and doing a lot of work together to sort of stand together for the issues that we find important and that are important for Aboriginal people across Australia. So yeah, there'll be plenty of work to be done between the NT and WA, and I think of the two jurisdictions in Australia that have the most similar concerns, the NT and WA are pretty close. So it'll be, yeah, lots of working together.
The last time we spoke to you on this program, we were talking about the Royal Commission into Aboriginal Deaths in Custody. 15th of April marks the 20th year since the report was published. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of work happening around the country in the lead up to that, I imagine.
Yeah, there is. I mean, there'll be a lot of, there'll hopefully be events commemorating it, or I guess recognising it more than commemorating it, throughout Australia. And there's also work being done by the ALS in New South Wales, just recording all of the recommendations and the progress that's been made around the country on each of the recommendations since in the past 20 years, so that we can look forward to seeing that in October. And I think that'll be a real eye-opener in terms of seeing just how much progress has been made since the commission.
Okay. On the issue of deaths in custody, I want to talk to you a little bit about coronial reform and the submissions that are going online all the time at the Aboriginal Legal Service website. What's been happening in this area?
Coronial reform is one of the issues that's currently being considered by the Law Reform Commission of WA. WA actually has pretty strong and progressive coronial laws, but there's still obviously a lot of issues and really sensitive issues around how family are cared for during the process of through the coronial process, and also just how investigations are conducted, who conducts the investigations, and how things can be done to achieve the aim of, you know, determining what the causes were for the death and supporting family through that process and making sure it doesn't happen again. So mid last year, I suppose, the Law Reform Commission released its first background paper in relation to the review, and ALS was one of the organisations that submitted a submission in relation to that background paper. Later this year, in the upcoming months, there should be a discussion paper that's reviewed that incorporates all of the information that's received in submissions, and then there'll be a further opportunity to provide comment and feedback in relation to coronial review and coronial practices and process in WA.
Okay. So people can find out more information about that on our website?
They can. All of our submissions are going online now. So if you go to the ALS website, there is a tab for publications and for submissions. And we post all of our submissions both within WA and national and international on that website. So it's easy for you to access them and take a look.
Okay, now there's also information that's gone up on the Bail Act.
Yes, so in the past 6 months or so, there have been a few reviews. At the moment, the Department of the Attorney General are reviewing the Bail Act and also the practice of using justices of the peace throughout WA, and submissions were made by the Aboriginal Legal Service in relation to both of those, and both of those submissions are online also.
Okay. Shana, thanks for popping in. I know it is a busy week, but look, from everyone at the Aboriginal Legal Service, we wish you all the very best with your new position in Central Australia. It's been great having you over at the ALS, and
it's been great being.
I'm sure you'll be greatly missed, and but we'll enjoy catching up with everyone from time to time.
For sure. Thanks, Jodie.
Good luck. Shana Satya joining us on Law Matters today. And now I'd like to welcome to the program, now she's caught her breath a little bit, Monica Collard. How you going, Monica?
Hi, how are you?
Oh, I'll turn your mic on. Hang on a sec. We'll say hi again.
Hi, everybody.
Thanks for joining us at very short notice. Kenny Sutton was hoping to be with us today, but sort of got detained at the Children's Court helping out on some matters there. You've come from the Children's Court as well?
Yes. It's not too busy down there this morning, but there are a few kids in custody. So really just wanted to talk to you all today about... you know, for the first timers who are coming to Children's Court can find the whole process a little bit daunting and frightening. So we do have a service there every day, first thing in the morning. And for all you kids who have never been to court before and family, I think it's best that you try to get to court early. And we're located down on Pier Street, I can't remember the number. It's right next to the MacGyver train station, and it's fairly accessible to everybody. And usually we're at the court by 9 o'clock, and we're trying to get everything sorted. So for all you first timers, if you can get there nice and early, any time, you know, around 9 o'clock is best for everybody.
So obviously, Monica, people are going to be turning up to court on a daily basis, some already with legal support, some just on their own. So you're able to provide assistance to those people, are you?
Yes. For those ones who do come to court and they don't always have their parents or a family member or a friend bring them to court, then we can always stand up and we can go through their matters with them, explain to them the process, and we can always adjourn a matter off to, so we put it off to another day to, if they want to make sure that their family members you know, can be at court for them. Sometimes it's difficult if a young person comes up in custody and they don't have family members there, so we usually have to try and get as much information off the young person as we can, and you know, try to contact family, locate family. I suppose a lot of the difficulties that we have is some of the children don't always remember their parents' contact numbers or mobile phone numbers, so sometimes that can be a bit difficult. But we do have a service down at the Children's Court called Supervised Bail. So if for some reason parents can't always attend court, or the court believes there are issues with the young person's accommodation, or general issues, then sometimes, you know, the magistrates will put that person on what we call supervised bail. And then what that generally means is range view become their responsible adult. And, you know, they usually check out where that person is going to stay, who that person's going to be staying with, make sure that there's a suitable accommodation and responsible person, and then bail them to that residence. And usually there are other conditions attached, and, you know, usually to attend school, or there might maybe a curfew between 7 p.m. and 7 a.m. unless that person's authorised by supervised bail to be out with a authorised person. Sometimes, so it's trying to, I think, alleviate young people being remanded in detention, you know, when there's a, you know, when family can't be found at the first instance. At least there's a service there that they, you know, they can go out, they can speak with family and check out their situation, and then hopefully bail them.
What are the age groups that the children's court's dealing with?
Oh, I think more recently we're seeing quite young children, young people as young as 10, 11, being charged with quite serious offences. And, our job down at the children's court when we're dealing with such young people is to make sure that that young person actually understands the process, understands the charges or the charge, so that we go through the elements of the offence. We have to make sure, at law, we're required to make sure that young person who's aged between 10 and 14, that they have the capacity to actually understand the charge and understand each and every element of that offence.
Because it's very young, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. So, and I mean, the detention centres are so overrepresented with young Aboriginal people as well.
Yes. So a lot of the issues that we face down at Children's Court are predominantly, there are huge issues with drugs, and we can have a whole forum on how bad the drugs are affecting our young people and community, but also it's on a day-to-day basis, a lot of the issues come down to welfare issues, accommodation, and so they're all intertwined, and, you can't always separate one without the other. I think a lot of my concerns are if we've got a young person who has dropped out of school, to try and get that person re-engaged into an education facility. I think I speak for most people, education is the most important thing that we should have or give to our kids, because without an education, then we're not going to have our next generation coming through and being able to stand up and then speak on behalf of our next generations. So we do need to empower ourselves and try and keep our kids into education as best we can.
Monica, you're an Aboriginal lawyer. How important do you think it is for a lot of the families and young people that you're working with that they walk into the court and they think, oh, I feel that I can relate to this person, and they might know family or whatever. Do you find that it's well received?
Generally, yes. I think just about every second person that comes through the office I'm related to in some way or another. And I think generally there's a good reception when I see other Aboriginal people there in the office and representing them. So I think the main thing is when I'm dealing with the young people and families is that I make sure that, they understand the whole process, that they get the best service that they can when I'm there at Children's Court, or whoever I'm dealing with, and making sure that, if they've got any questions, they can ask. And, I speak to them like I speak to my own family, friends, my grandmother, grandfather. And, so I treat them like my own family, really, when I'm speaking to them and making sure that they understand, everything that's going on.
So you'd strongly recommend to people that if they do have a court appearance to not be, just sort of to make sure they get there in plenty of time so yes. that they feel a bit more relaxed, organised, can ask all the questions they need to ask before court starts. What time does court actually start?
Court usually starts at 10 o'clock.
Yep.
And so it can be a bit difficult sometimes, because if the kids arrive late and, the magistrate's all ready to go, and there isn't a big list on for the children's court, sometimes it can create delays, and so the magistrate may get a bit grumpy sometimes because they have to keep stepping out of court and adjourning for a short period of time. But the more smoother the court runs and everybody's there on time, it's better for everybody, because we're not they're not sitting around all day waiting to appear before the magistrate. I think most of their frustration is just sitting and waiting, because then they start to think and they start to stress.
Okay. So once people do arrive at the Children's Court in Perth, as you said, it's right alongside the MacIver Railway Station. There's plenty of people on the ground there that they can sort of say, oh, I'm not sure where I need to be, or where's the ALS office, or what. Have we got our own office there?
We do have our own office, and what usually happens is once you enter the building, there is a security check on the left-hand side and a counter, and they'll ask you to check in. So they'll ask your name and they'll check you off a list. and then they can tell you, you know, where to go if you need to get to see ALS. There are other services available at the Children's Court. I think Legal Aid are also there. But we're pretty easy to find at the Children's Court, and any one of the security staff or the court staff can point you in the right direction.
Okay. Are you always in the Children's Court?
Predominantly, yes.
Yeah. Okay. And you said that the children coming through are younger and younger, so that's of concern, isn't it?
Yes, especially, they're getting charged with far more serious offences. Sometimes I think that it's unnecessary charges. But, you know, sometimes if the police feel as though they've got enough evidence to charge that person, then they'll charge them with the most serious offence that they can charge them with, rather than looking at perhaps a less serious offence. But they are coming through a lot younger with serious offences, you know, like robbery and burglaries, so...
All right, well, it's good to know that there's assistance there at the Children's Court, there's assistance at the Aboriginal Legal Service. People, if they've got a court appearance coming up, can ring the ALS or can speak to someone on the actual morning of their appearance if they get there sort of at a reasonable time before court starts.
And just while we're on children going to court, obviously if a young person knows they are going to court, they have to go to court and can't make court, they should always try to call our office, hopefully first thing in the morning at ALS, or call us at the Children's Court. It can always leave us a message. We have a phone in the office so that if they do call the registry, the call can get put through to our office. And, at least pass a message on it. You know, if they just leave it and do nothing, the worst that could happen is they get an arrest warrant, and if they get picked up, then it means they're remanded in custody.
Oh, great advice. Yeah, then
if you can't make court, make sure you call us and call the court and leave a message with the court as well. I think the court really appreciates contact, and we can always put your matters off to another day if you can't attend.
Excellent. Monica, really appreciate you taking time out today, because I know you have been in court this morning and have come here unexpectedly. So really important advice for our young people and also their families, and who obviously try wherever they can to get along and support their young people when they have got court appearances as well. That wraps up Law Matters for another fortnight. We hope you can join us again next fortnight. We're on every second Wednesday between 11 a.m. and 12 noon, and our program is repeated Sunday nights at 9 o'clock. And over the next day or two as well, this program will go online at our own website, www.als.org.au. Just a reminder about those nominations opening for the ALS Executive Committee. They open this Monday at 9 o'clock and close on Friday the 8th of April at 4 o'clock. The elections themselves are held from the 23rd to the 27th of May. We've got all the information online at www.als.org.au. And if you'd like any more information about anything you've heard on the program today, ring our free call number on 1800 019 900. 1800 019 900. See you later.